How's everybody doing? Good. Let me see if I can get this thing off here. Is it going here?
Yeah.
Man, what a blessing to be up here, guys. I know the last time I came up here, I got cottonmouth like in the first minute. And so I was all, PJ, I'm going to need some water. So let me get some water in here real quick. Man, the last time I was up here, I think it was late April. Late April was the last time I was up here. And I thought it was going to be May the next time I'd be asked. But I, in my mind, I was like, oh, I must not have done that well because PJ didn't ask me. That's just a joke. But so he asked me like in June that if I wanted to teach in July. And so I was like, yeah, yeah. And the other day, it was Monday morning, I believe, he texted me. He's like, hey, are you, you're teaching this Thursday, right? Like, question mark. And I was like, I am? You know, a bunch of question marks that he didn't answer. And then I put, like, laugh out loud. And then finally, he's like, yeah, did you forget? And I thought I got him. But he said he understood my humor. And so I was trying to trick him, like, I am teaching. But, no, so, yeah, last time I was up here was April. May, June, July. It's already late July. Can you guys believe that? How fast time goes, huh? The summer's already almost gone. Teachers, students are going to have to go back to school here in what? 3 weeks? Is that right? Man. How crazy, huh? It seems like the older you get, not that I'm old or anything, but the older you get, it seems like time just goes by so much faster, you know? Like my kids, those Tweedledee and Tweedledum right there, man, they were little, and it just seemed like just the other day they were little, and now here they are growing up, and it's like, man, where does time go? So we gotta save those moments with our little ones, because, man, the time flies, and you know when that time flies, in between the time, you know, they don't wait for nobody, right? Time marches on. We go through good, we go through bad, we go through valleys, we're on mountaintops soaring, right? Some of us are in the mud in the valleys just trying to get through it. And going back to PJ's, him and our little conversation about teaching Thursday, it showed me that Pastor Joe is diligent, not diligent in putting me up here, but making sure that his congregation is fed the word. You know, and he's diligent at that. He's always making sure that we're being taught the word. And that's what he's doing with the time that he's been giving. Obviously, there's other things. But to me, I see that. And so my question to you guys is, what are you doing with the time that's been given to you all? What are you doing with that time? You know, if I look at my own, it's like, I could do more. I can really reach into the depths, and I could do so much more. But we always make up these excuses, right? We don't want to step out of our comfort zone, right? We don't want to feel uncomfortable. If we feel a movement of the Holy Spirit telling you to go pray for somebody, oh, I don't want to look weird. You know, what are we doing with our time? Where are our efforts going into? What are they going into? Are they hobbies? Is it your walk with the Lord? Or is it your job? Is it your family? Whatever it is, there's a root cause to that. It's like where your heart is, right? That's like our motivation to whatever we want to do. If you have a passion for football, you know, you can get caught up in the whole just focusing on football and forgetting the Lord. So where are our efforts? So I'm gonna ask you guys to examine yourselves, okay? But There's a verse in Matthew 6:21, and I don't think I put the whole verse down, but it says, "For where your treasure is, there your hearts will be." And I titled tonight's message, "Where are your hearts? What are your hearts in? What have you been doing with the time that you've been given?" So let's come before the Lord real quick before we get into our scriptures. Father, we thank you so much for this time. Lord, I'm already blessed just by being up here, Lord. Thank you for the air in our lungs, Lord, and the sun rising on us. Lord, I pray that you would prepare our hearts to receive your word and that we would apply it to our daily lives. Not just let it go in one ear and not the other, but to actually apply it and start to reach out to these lost family members and friends that we have all around us. Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit would move and that you would bless this time and keep us all safe here tonight. And as always, glory always belongs to you, Lord. Let your will be done. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. So, I know you guys are used to the traditional way of Scripture being brought to you. And, man, as hard as I couldn't find, like, a main Scripture to focus on. And I kept working for it and working for it. As I was filling out my the teaching, I had one, and it just, man, it wasn't working out. And I was talking to my wife, Michelle, and, you know, cause she said something kind of cool. She's like, we're all made different in God's eyes a lot. And she's like, you don't have to do it the way it's always been done. And I was like, okay. And so, you know, there's a verse in Hebrews 4. Man, Hebrews is an awesome book. It's deep, but it's an awesome book. And it's Hebrews 4:12. And it says, for the word of God is living. It's living right now as we speak, and it's powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And to me, when I was having that conversation with Michelle, it's like, man, I can't find this main scripture. But it was like I felt directed and using that to open up, because God's word is living. And, you know, in God's word, he wants to direct us if we allow him. And I was having a conversation with Boone and Kristen, and I can't remember the topic, but I had brought something up, and I think it was Kristen. She said, you know, God's word is living and powerful. And then I started to think, I was like, there's a scripture like that. And so I want to go through in the not the traditional route. And I want to bring you guys, and not try and convince you, because scripture, it's always up to interpretation, you know. But on what I think, how important I think the heart is, and how we have to continuously be examining ourselves. And so in 2 Corinthians 13:5, it says, examine yourself to see if you are in the faith. And so right now, where you guys sit right now, I want you guys to start examining yourselves. And we're going to continuously examine ourselves through this teaching, okay? So start to examine yourself to see if you're in the faith. And we should be checking to see what condition our heart is in. Where is our heart? Okay? Be truthful with yourself. Don't beat around no bushes. Be truthful. When we're examining ourselves, it's so important to apply the correct standard. What standard, like what moral compass are we going to do this on? Are we going to do this on our own standard of what we think good is, or God's word? I think we all know the answer here. But anyone apart from God, before men, can appear to do good. Anyone. Anyone. And you hear people say that all the time, talking to even the unbelievers. They're like, that dude's a good dude, man. He's a good dude. Or that's a good woman right there. She, you know, she does right. In their eyes, in men's eyes, right? And that verse that I just read, that piercing even to joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. You know, if we use that standard of, that standard of what men think good is, we know from Romans 3 that no one does good. None. Not one. And if we apply this standard, it will fail. It'll burn up because there's no foundation behind it. Who are we? Who are we to think what good is? I mean, yeah, we're created in the image of God and we know right from wrong. But for whatever reason, because of our sinful nature, we continue to do wrong, even though we know it's wrong. Why is that? And these ways seem right to men, but its end is the way of death. And that's from Proverbs 14:12. Its way is the end of death. Or did I say that right? As we are examining ourselves, we should know that in Proverbs 21, verse 2, it says, every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the heart. You know, there was a scripture, I think there's a couple times it mentions it in Deuteronomy and then in Judges. And it talks about how the nation of Israel, when they didn't have a king, and it says they did what was right in their own eyes. They didn't have a king reigning over them. And I think you kind of relate that to, if we don't have a king reigning in our life, we're going to do what's right in our own eyes. Right? And so nothing is hidden from His sight. So as we're sitting here examining ourselves, try to bring up all that dirt. Right? We all have it. All of us. Nothing is hidden from His sight. People can come to church and play church, right? They can come and play Christian, but they can't play God. They can't play God. Sooner or later, yeah, a brother or sister in the Lord might see some fruits when they're not expecting it, these other folks, and then, yeah, maybe you can tell by those fruits. But other than that, I mean, it was the same way with me back in the day. I thought I was good coming to church, reading scripture, praying every now and then. I had no king reigning in my life. And I was doing right in my own eyes. And so nothing is hidden from His sight. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 13 says this. And there is no creature hidden from His sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of Him to whom we must give an account. Man, think about today. Was there anything that happened today that we're going to have to give an account for? So we can't use the standard of what we think is good, right? Because our moral compass is way off. So obviously we're going to use God's word as the standard. God's word. And so when we do this, and we all know it, but when we use this standard, we have to apply all of it. We can't pick and choose. We can't say, well, I like this verse and this scripture, and I agree with that, but not with that, and I don't really like that. So I'm only going to use this and this and this. Being selective. For you women, are your men have selective hearing? So yeah, just a quick little story. Michelle was there talking to me. I was really into this show. I think it was called Alone. And I was like really into it, watching it. And she's there talking, and I could hear her talking, right? But God forgive me, I was selecting to listen to the tube rather than my wife. And she got a little upset. I'm sorry, Mom. So, Mama, forgive me. Don't be selective, right? Apply all of it. So here we are, continuing to examine ourselves, okay? We need to find, or we need to come to some kind of conclusion of the condition of our heart. Where is our heart? That was the title of this, of tonight's topic. Where are our hearts? So let's talk about the heart a little bit. Okay, physically speaking, we know the heart is a vital organ, and without it, we're dead, right? We know that. And there are all kinds of ways to, you know, prolong your life, to keep a healthy heart, right? We can do this through exercise, through dieting, getting enough sleep. You know, the dieting part, I think the only thing that I eat that's good for me is Cheerios because it has a little heart that says heart healthy or something. And so when I see that, I'm like, yeah, got to get that. I feel like I'm eating healthy. But, so we have to maintain our heart physically, right? We can't just, I mean, you know, we can't be lazy. We can't just eat whatever we want, although some of us do. We have to take care of ourselves. We have to maintain our heart. And in the same way, we have to maintain our hearts spiritually. And spiritually speaking, what makes up the heart? And there's a few different commentaries that I have, and I really couldn't, like, there's a ton of verses on the heart, a ton of them. And I think just in the concordance that I have, there was like over 800, or is that right? Over 800 different verses with heart in it. But before we get into our spiritual heart, let's just look at the physical heart real quick. So I think I might have this right. If there's any medical personnel in here, you could correct me. Okay, correct me now. I'd appreciate it. So in the heart, there's four components, right? There's a atrium. Is that right? There's a ventricle and a ventricle, and then the atrium and atrium. Is that right? Does anyone know? Is that right? Okay. So it's made up of four parts, right? Two top parts, two bottom parts. The bottom parts pump the blood out to the body, and the top receive it. I think that's how it goes. I should have looked that up, huh? I just remember that from college. So now getting into the spiritual heart. So bear with me on this, okay? And like I said, everything is up for interpretation, but this is what I found. So the things or the attributes that make up our heart spiritually, okay? There's four of them. Just like a physical heart with four components, the spiritual heart, four components. Your first one is your mind. Your second are your emotions. Your third is your will. And your fourth is your conscience. And so we're going to go over some verses why I can argue that these components make up our spiritual heart. So, our first one is the mind. And let me have you guys flip over to Matthew 9, verse 4. So, before I go into that verse, let me just give you a little bit of layout, right? Some people bring a paralytic to Jesus, and Jesus sees their faith, and he heals the paralytic. And he tells them, son, your sins have been forgiven. Right? Or he says, but Jesus knowing, or I'm sorry, where am I at right here? Knowing the scribes' thoughts, Jesus tells them, why do you think evil in your hearts? And so let me read this, make sure I have this right. The verse says, but Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, why do you think evil in your hearts? So an activity of the mind, which is our first component, is to think. And Jesus tells them, why do you think evil in your hearts? So this can show or argue that our mind makes up one of the components in our heart. Going on to two, our emotion. Let's flip over to John 16, verse 22. And so let me just lay out a little bit here for this one. Jesus is explaining to the disciples that he will go away, and in a little while, they will see him again. Jesus, knowing that they didn't understand this saying, explains to them in a little more detail, telling them that they will weep and lament, and they will be sorrowful, but that their sorrow will turn into joy. And obviously, Jesus is talking about his death and his resurrection. And we all know that if we lost a loved one, that it hurts so deep, so deep. It feels like a piece of you is gone, right? And if that person was to return, what kind of joy would you be having? Oh, man, I'd be on my knees praising God, right? And how sad and how happy we can be in that moment. And so going into that verse, it says, therefore, you now have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and your joy no one will take from you. So we can see that feeling sorrowful or rejoicing is related to our emotions. We see here that our heart rejoices, because they're going to rejoice, and their heart rejoices. So this can show or argue that our emotions are a part of our heart. They're one of those components. Okay, that's two components. Thirdly, let's go on to Acts chapter 11, verse 23. Man, you know when, I'm going to go off on a little rabbit trail here. But, man, I find it to be such a blessing to be up here. And sadly, bear with me, when I know that I have to come up here, I give so much more effort, so much more effort in the way I live, think, talk, study. It's like, PJ must be really righteous. I mean, if he's always up here, you know? So, all right, I just had to. So thirdly is our will. Okay? So let me lay out a little description here. This was during the time after Stephen had been stoned. You guys all recall that, right? And so as the persecution of the church was, you know, persecution was coming on the church, and the word was being preached to the Jews only. And they thought that salvation was only towards them. They didn't know it was for everybody. But then the gospel had been preached to the Hellenists and in Antioch. And the Hellenists, I found, were like, they were Jews, but they had absorbed like Gentile traditions and ways. And so they were considered to be a part of the Gentile nation. And so when they heard the word, the gospel, people were being saved. And so it was like, so the church in Jerusalem heard about it. And they said, you know, we're catching ear that, you know, this is going down in Antioch. And so they designated Barnabas. They're like, hey, why don't you go check this out? And let us know what you find. Go and confirm this. And so Barnabas goes to Antioch. And this is what the verse says, verse 23. Says, when he came and had seen the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them all that with purpose of the heart, they should continue with the Lord. Now, I looked up the definition for purpose, and it said, have as one's intention or objective. And in a thesaurus, it meant to intend, to plan, or to decide, to make a decision. So to purpose is to decide, which is an exercise of our will. So, this can show or argue that our will is another part of our heart, making up three components. Fourthly, this one was, man, this one's deep. Like I was saying, Hebrews is deep, and I had a little struggled with this a little bit. But let me take you to Hebrews 10, verse 22. This is the last component of our spiritual heart. And it says, well, sorry, getting ahead of myself. Let me lay out a little bit here. Let me go there just in case I need to. So what's leading up to this verse is the writer of Hebrews is addressing his Jewish brethren. And he's basically telling them, look, we were given the law. This was the old covenant, right? We were given the law to follow. But because of our sins, we can never approach God perfectly. Even with the continual sacrifices of animals offered to God. And so no matter how many times they sacrificed, the sacrifices would not take away or remove the offerer's guilty conscience or provide them with full forgiveness. And so the writer is telling them, he's telling the Hebrews, he's like, look, this is the old covenant. We need to leave that covenant because there's a new covenant. A new covenant. Which God had consecrated for all of us. And he's saying, and through the one offering, he, meaning God, has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. And basically, our only atonement is through the precious, precious blood of Christ. That's what I took from, I read and I tried to put it in summary as best as I could. And basically, he's just saying, we have a new covenant to follow now. And this way, this is our atonement. No more need to do these sacrifices. And in 10:16, it says, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds I will write them. Then he adds, their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Now, do you guys recall the time when you surrendered to Christ? You guys remember that? And how differently and how new you felt, right? You felt so apart. At least I did. I felt like literally like scales had fallen off my eyes. And it was a whole new world, just like that Disney song. So in the verse, it says, let us draw near, and this is verse 22, it says, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. In one of the commentaries I have, it talked about in the Old Testament how they would sprinkle blood. And it was like a sign of cleansing. And so it's basically the way I see that, if that's what that means, is that to cleanse our hearts from an evil conscience. So hearts cleansed from an evil conscience. In the John MacArthur commentary, he writes this. The conscience is a divinely given warning device that reacts to sin and produces accusation and guilt. When we submitted to the Lord genuinely, right? Did you guys feel any guilt when you returned to some of those sinful ways? I don't know about you guys, but I did. I was like, oh, all the time. It's like, man, I'm doing wrong. And so what I just read from the John MacArthur commentary, that to me sounds like conviction. Conviction. If you lack conviction while you're examining yourself, then that's not a good way to be. It's when we have conviction is when we know that God's still working in us. So when you're examining yourself right now as I'm talking, are you still experiencing conviction? Is conviction still in your walk? And that is the beginning stages. Conviction is the beginning stages of how our hearts are turned to set ourselves apart. Through this, we can see that this can indicate, show, or argue that our conscience makes up our fourth component of our spiritual heart. There's a little deal I wanted to read to you guys. And this little deal says, We read a lot about the heart in the Bible because in biblical times, it was thought that our decisions, feelings, and thought processes came from the heart. The heart in the Bible was thought to be a sort of control center from which all of our decisions were made. So when we read about the heart in the Bible, it is about the place where you have your will, your attitude and intentions, and which is the source of your thoughts, actions, and words. So, in short, our hearts are who we are. That's the person we are. And so as we examine ourselves, what kind of person are we? Are we just a listener? Are we a doer? Are we a nothinger? I don't know, is that even a word? So now can our hearts, so now we know a little bit about our hearts, right? And so you can see the four components spiritually and the four components physically. Now asking you guys, can our hearts be tainted through our walks? I should see some heads going like this, right? They can become sick. They can become hard-hearted. They can become broken-hearted, right? Through time, man, we go through so much stuff. I've had my heart broken a couple times from April to now. And you have to be careful because when our heart is in the wrong condition, we can be so easily influenced by so many things. And what are some of those things? I think we all know, but I'm going to go over them anyways. The people we hang around, right? Are the people we hanging around, are they believers? Are we unequally yoked or equally yoked? The things we watch. What are we watching at home? What are we watching on our cell phones? So easily accessed, right? The internet, right in our palm of our hand. And you can watch anything you want, read anything you want. You can listen to any podcast you want, any music, anything. Can that influence a person's walk? For those younger generation who are looking for a loved one, probably on Facebook here listening, don't let your emotions influence you to chase after someone from the opposite sex. Because that person can weigh you down, pull you away. 1 Corinthians 15:3 says that evil company corrupts good habits. And I've seen it for myself. I think you guys have too. And through all these things that I went over, and there's so many more. Sometimes we can find ourselves apart from God, right? We get so sick. Our hearts get so sick or so unhealthy spiritually that we find ourselves, man, in bad ways. You know, we can have like that heart of stone and, oh man, it's hard to get out of. And when we're apart from God, that's when we can find that the hearts of men are full of evil. They are apart from God. And you may say, well, what about this guy? I've never seen him do bad. He don't cuss and he donates money to everybody and does this, does that. Okay. All right, cool. But let me ask this. Are we saved by works? Man, we're saved by grace, right? Works don't get us anywhere. Nowhere. And you know, we don't see the heart like God does. God sees the heart. And man, He sees all of our hearts right now. And as we're sitting here examining ourselves, bring that up. Bring that out. Let's make those hearts clean, pure. In Matthew 15, 19 through 20, Jesus is explaining to the disciples that it's not what goes into the mouth that defiles a man, but what comes out of the mouth that comes from the heart, right? And it says, for out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. Another verse that you guys are probably very familiar with, I've heard it several times, is from Jeremiah. Jeremiah 17:9. And it says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Man, if we were to pull that verse alone from the context of that scripture, man, we could put it on cards and throw it at everybody, right? Like, the heart's deceitful. Don't be following your heart. Right? Because I think, this is just my opinion, I think sometimes we can take that text out of context. And we need to understand that this is addressing God's chosen people in the book of Jeremiah. And in Jeremiah 16:11, God is telling Jeremiah, and He says, because your fathers have forsaken me, says the Lord, they have walked after other gods, and have served them and worshiped them, and have forsaken me and not kept my law. And you have done worse than your fathers. For behold, each one follows the dictates of his own evil heart. Because they're apart from God. So anyone, I don't care how you put it, you're either with God or against Him. There ain't no in between. You're either with Him or you're not. And that's what we need to decide. Examine yourselves. Are you with God? Is your heart with God? Or are you struggling? Let's bring it up. Because I assure you that there will be a day where we will find ourselves in the hand of God with no other chances, right? And we're relying so much on Jesus. But I believe you can have a walk. And if you're not constantly examining your heart and maintaining your walk, you can fall away. We need to maintain, just like it for a physical heart. We need to exercise. We need to get in our Bible, right? We need to put ourselves around Christians, believing people. And we need to encourage one another and exhort one another, be there for one another. No more of this coming to church and just saying, hello, how you doing? We need to reach out, man. Come on, church. Let's do this together. We need each other. We need each other. And I bring up these verses to show you that the heart apart from God is evil. And it is wicked. Before a holy God. Before men, that's a different story. And that's a different answer before men. But before a holy, righteous, sovereign God, a man apart from God, his heart is evil and wicked. That's it. There's no in between. In Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20, it says, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Whoa. And I was like, whoa. Do we not see that all around us now? How crazy is that? Well, maybe it's not crazy. It's called right here. It's spoken of right here, right in the scripture. You, anywhere you look, TV, I mean, you can't watch a decent show anywhere. You have to go back into YouTube, back to the 80s, to watch a decent show like the Andy Griffith Show or something. Leave It to Beaver. Man, no decent shows anywhere because they're continuously trying to indoctrinate everybody with this perversion. And we see people throughout this world. I mean, it seems like everyone's just falling on the wagon, right? They're just following that wagon, getting on. And they have their excuses why they think whatever it is okay. Like with abortion. You see, sadly, Christians compromising, saying, well, they can get an abortion if this is the situation. Oh, man. It's like, what does God's word say about it? Let's kill that argument and say, what does God's word say about it? I'm thinking Proverbs 6, right? The shedding of innocent blood, God hates. That's innocent blood. Nope. That's it. Done arguing. So, what else do we see? Pastors, right? We hear stories of pastors in infidelity and all this other nonsense, right? We see Bible-believing people just falling away. And I think it was this past Sunday, Pastor Mike had mentioned, he said something like this. I could get it wrong a little bit, but he said, how can someone write something so profound, you know, tied to the scriptures and fall away? You know why they're falling away? Because they're compromising. They're compromising their faith. What does it say? A little leaven leavens a whole lump. Man, that's one of my bread and butters right there. Little leaven leavens a whole lump. And it's so true. It is so true. You open that door just a little bit, and that snake will just seep in. You don't even know it until the door's wide open. And where in Scripture does it say to make a compromise with this world? Does it say anywhere in the Scripture about that? No, it says set yourself apart. Set yourself apart from this world. In Luke 17:26, am I hanging with you, Kevin? We were kind of supposed to be on the same page. I might have been jumping ahead of him. It says this, and as it was in the days of Noah, so will it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. I'm going to end there on that verse. They were just living out life. Right? Living out life. And with the time that we've been given, what are we doing? Are we just living out life? I'll be the first to say that I kind of am. And I need to be restored. And I want the Lord to move in my life. Referring back to the days of Noah in Genesis chapter 6, verse 5, it says this. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Because the Lord weighs the heart. Do you not get it? The Lord weighs the heart, not men. And in his eyes, everybody continuously doing evil. And if you read on, you'll see that Noah, he found grace, right, in the eyes of the Lord. It wasn't because he was, I think it said that he walked with God, but it was only because of God's grace that Noah and his family got through that, through God's wrath. Only because of his grace. And that is the only way we too will be saved from God's wrath. It's through his grace. And that grace comes through Christ. and in his obedience submitted to the Father's will to be our atonement. My atonement. Your atonement. And by falling under this grace, our hearts are made new. And they have new desires. New passions. And it is only in this faith that our hearts can be pure. We can't make them pure on our own. But by that precious blood. 1 Peter 1:22 says, love one another fervently with a pure heart. If we decide, as we sit here examining, and we know, right? We know what needs to be done. Cry out. We need to cry out to God. And if it's forgiveness we need, cry out forgiveness. We should all be feeling a little conviction right now. That's a good thing. Because that gives us another opportunity to open a door for something else, you know, to start something. Allow God to work in your life. Man, there's been times where it's like, oh, no, I don't want to do that. And then when I do it, what a blessing. Stepped out of that comfort zone. And man, God will bless. And this decision will be the best decision you will ever make. Because in Matthew 5:8, it says, blessed are the pure in heart. For they shall see God. That's something. That would be a blessing in itself, right? I don't need anything else but to be in the presence of the Holy One. And that's it. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word, Lord. I pray that your Holy Spirit would move through this place, Lord, and that we would truly examine ourselves, that we would bring everything, Lord, to you and lay it at your feet, Lord. If it's forgiveness we need, Lord, that we would ask for forgiveness. If it's conviction we need, Lord, that you would give us conviction. Lord, if it's a healing we need, that you would heal us. Lord, as always, we always pray for your will to be done. Lord, and I ask that these words would settle in with our heart, that we would place your word in our heart so that we wouldn't sin against you. Lord, that we would go out there and be a light to this town that needs you so much. And I thank you so much for this time being up here, Lord. And I ask that you bless all these people, that you would protect them for the rest of the week. And in Jesus' mighty, powerful name I pray. Amen.